On a Monday, it is a climate-focused state capitol report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We start by exploring the work of Wisconsin's Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy, established by Governor Evers in 2019. The office is charged with developing the first-ever Wisconsin Clean Energy Plan. Four virtual listening sessions were held last month around topics like environmental justice, infrastructure, transportation, and energy efficiency. So what investments, incentives, and regulations should be established to help Wisconsin shrink our carbon footprint? It's 800-642-1234. Maria Redmond is director of Wisconsin's Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy. She's worked in Wisconsin government under five governors. Maria, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You have been working on our state's first clean energy plan for months now. You've gathered the feedback from residents in these listening sessions. So at this point, what do you see as the biggest barrier to getting Wisconsin's energy carbon free?
So that's a really great question. So the thing about this plan is that it's going to take time. I know we all feel a sense of urgency to address climate change and to address the impacts of climate change, but we do recognize that it's going to take us some time to get it done. And so the clean energy plan is really designed to address that, thinking about the things that we can do immediately that we don't have to wait for, and thinking about things that have high impact that might take a little bit more time, but that we can really focus on strategies that have that high impact. So, you know, some things like a clean energy standard, for example, might take a little longer, but, you know, is that something that we would want to explore for the state? Something that would be immediate would be, you know, looking at our current programming, like our Office of Energy Innovation Grant Programs. You know, is there something we can do with those programs so that we can fund projects faster? So there's it's a challenge because there's so much to look at, so many sectors to look at, so many opportunities to look at, but the barrier is going to be about timing and when is the right time to do the right strategy.
Is there any way you can quantify how many actions might ultimately be in this plan?
So we started out the plan. That's a good question too. We started out the plan basing it on other planning efforts. Mm. And so we basically had a long list of strategies based on the Wisconsin Energy Distribution Technology Initiative, the Governor's Task Force on Climate Change, recommendations that were pushed out at the end of last year. The Great Plains Institute published a number of roadmaps related to the power sector, building sector, and transportation sector. And so we kind of put all of those together. And when we put all those strategies together, it was well over 150. Mm. And you have to also be reasonable in what you can do, reasonably resource-wise and staffing-wise. And so what we did is we put that list together and we kind of been going through that list and saying, hey, you know, if we model this out, if we look at the impacts of carbon emission reductions and greenhouse gas emissions reductions, is this feasible? And so I can't tell you exactly what we're going to land on, but there are going to be a lot of strategies because we're looking at deep decarbonization across multiple sectors. So we can't just have one strategy for every sector. We have to be thinking about, you know, energy efficiency for buildings, electrification for buildings and transportation. There's a lot of interdependencies. If we electrify the transportation system, we need to be thinking about what we're doing with the grid and optimizing the grid and cleaning the grid to ensure that our transportation is fully clean and that we're not relying on fossil fuels to, you know, power our vehicles still. So there's a lot of interdependencies. I don't have a final number,
sure,
but it's certainly not going to be, you know, 150 strategies. You know, we're certainly going to narrow that down to a doable amount. And this is an action plan. So the clean energy plan is really the tool that we're going to use to talk about why is this important from a climate perspective an energy use perspective, energy burden perspective, how are we going to accomplish making change? And who's responsible for that? So that's really what the Clean Energy Plan is about. And it's going to be a living document that we're going to look at, and we're going to, you know, revisit it frequently and see how we're doing and measure ourselves along the way and make adjustments.
So it won't collect dust on a shelf, if you will.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. We do not want it to collect dust. We want it to be living and actionable.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Maria Redmond, who is director of Wisconsin's Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy, as we discuss the forthcoming clean energy plan. With your thoughts on it, what do you think Wisconsin should do to lower carbon emissions? Do you think it's possible to fight climate change effectively in the current polarized political environment? 800-642-1234. Maria, explain then, what stage are you at in putting this plan together?
So we had listening sessions, which you mentioned earlier. We are now taking the public input that we received and are still receiving. So we are still collecting public input. That process will not close even once we release it, because this is an ongoing process. And we're taking a look at the public input and comparing it to the strategies that we have listed for each of the sectors, and taking that into account and going through each of the strategies and identifying the high impact strategies and the immediate action strategies. So we're kind of in the final phase of this. The other part of this is we have great participation from the agencies in the state. And so the agencies are, you know, also giving us some input on what they can do and where we can leverage the great work that's happening at the different agencies to see what we can accomplish as well. So we're getting really close to publishing the first version of it. I'm hoping within the next few months, we'll get that out the door and get it to everyone for, so we can start implementing the actions within the plan.
Will this plan, it's actionable, but will this plan have teeth? What power does a state have to get utilities or to get car owners or to get farmers to take action on this issue?
I think there's an appetite for us to move forward. If you look at what's happening with the utilities, they're already moving forward with clean energy. I think it's a matter of tying us all together and defining it a little bit more. What exactly do we want to do for farmers? And what can we do with farmers? Certainly legislation would be great. So we're also looking at the different types of legislative packages we could potentially put together, but then knowing that sometimes that might be a bit of a challenge, and the timing for that will take a while. We also want to look at, again, I mentioned these immediate action strategies, what we can do with our current programming. So, you know, our current grant programming, our current funding, you know, potentially through different agencies. And then there are things that need to be done that we want to show that we have support for, but we don't necessarily have control over. So, for example, local governments have great climate initiatives. And so the question is if you're a local government moving forward with your climate action plan or sustainability plan, what can the state do to help to support that? Mm. And so is it, what I've heard a lot from local governments is technical assistance and resources. So what can we do to think about that? And as we know, the federal government just signed a huge bill, the Infrastructure and Investment Act, and there's funding coming to Wisconsin. So what could we do to help direct some of that funding to clean energy and sustainability within different businesses, local governments, farmers? I'm just making sure that we kind of define what we want to do and then do it and get the funding where it needs to be.
And that we are going to follow up there and talk more about the infrastructure law. Maria Redmond heads up Wisconsin's Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy with the state's first ever clean energy plan under development. What steps have you taken to reduce your carbon footprint? How do you feel about those changes? What feedback would you give state government for its work around clean energy and the environment? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap with Maria Redmond here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're checking in on Wisconsin's Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy and the forthcoming Clean Energy Plan. It's a roadmap, as we've been talking about, for the state's transition away from fossil fuels. Four online meetings were held last month to hear what residents want to have included in the plan. You can give your suggestions now. What innovations have you seen utilities and governments and companies make to reduce carbon emissions? How can state government harness those advancements in this plan? 800-642-1234. Maria Redmond leads Wisconsin's Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy with us for about nine more minutes. Maria, as we are talking there, the infrastructure bill that was signed into law by President Biden last week, it includes $12 billion to help capture carbon released by power plants. And some environmentalists have criticized this because they see it as giving a lease on life to fossil fuels. Do you see a future for fossil fuels in Wisconsin?
Well, we'd like to see a future without fossil fuels in Wisconsin. And one of the things that I mentioned earlier is that it will take time to transition. And so the utilities have carbon emission reduction goals and they're working towards that. Carbon capture is a way to reduce carbon emission reductions directly from the plant, but it doesn't fully replace it. It is a way to, it's just a different way to capture the carbon, but not directly, you're still using the fossil fuels. So I think that's where the heartburn is that we don't see the full transition to 100% carbon-free electricity. And that's what our goal is here in the state. So, you know, I think we'd like to see more technology come out and maybe looking at different technology like, you know, hydrogen or renewable natural gas or, you know, other forms that can replace the fossil fuel versus, you know, sequestering the carbon that comes from that fossil fuel from production.
What federal dollars through the infrastructure law do you anticipate will benefit Wisconsin in this goal to becoming carbon free by 2050?
So there's some funding coming for grid, and we don't know how much at this point. It hasn't been identified what's exactly coming to Wisconsin, but there's some grid funding that's going to be coming to the states, and that's going to help us to look at the ways that we can optimize our grid. One, we need optimization of the grid, but we also need transmission in order to ensure that, you know, when we build solar and we have renewables available to us that we can, we have access to it. And so that's one thing that we have to be looking at as well. And so the federal government recognizes the infrastructure needed to be able to sync up the grid with the renewables that could potentially be coming online. And so that's super exciting to be able to have that. And then, you know, there's a ton of infrastructure money coming for, there's $79 million coming for electric vehicle infrastructure. And so that's something to think about as well as we're starting to build out the charging stations for all sizes of vehicles. We also need to be thinking about the energy needed for that and the demand that would have on the state and our grid. And again, we want that energy to be renewable. We don't want it coming from fossil fuels. So we need to the funding will be super helpful to help us to couple those, the transportation and the demand for the energy so that we can continue to reach our goals.
In the area of environmental justice, what will the state do to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to participate in the new green economy?
That statement of being able to participate in the green economy is so important. Historically, Black, Indigenous, people of color have not been able to participate in the green economy or in the clean energy, in the energy economy for that matter, just our traditional energy economy. They haven't had a say. And so what's so important, part of it is to make sure that people know how to get engaged in processes here at the state. The Public Service Commission dockets are sometimes complicated for people, but we want people to be able to know that they have a voice and that they can be able to speak to the agencies and speak to the commissioners through that process. So it's about education and getting to communities and talking to them about why this is important. It's also, we want to reduce energy burden on communities. And so what are the ways that we can ensure that, you know, it was recently announced that, you know, there's going to be some price hikes for clean energy to be able to transition. And so that's an extra energy burden on folks. And so we want to make sure that we can figure out what we can do to reduce that energy burden. And so energy efficiency is a big part of that. We have the most robust, cost-effective energy program here in the country, focused on energy. And a lot of folks don't know about that program. Hmm. So we want to make sure that people know that they have access to resources to be able to be more energy efficient. But that's about education and getting to communities and talking to them. And so a lot of what we're trying to figure out is what is the best way to get to communities, both rural and urban, to tell them about this plan and to get them engaged in processes so that not only they have a voice, but they can take advantage of the different opportunities that are available to them.
Maria Redmond with us, Director of Wisconsin's Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy, as we discuss the office's forthcoming clean energy plan. This is a first for Wisconsin that is in the works. Mike from Spooner called, couldn't stay with us, and Mike said green energy has a carbon footprint as well. And Mike is wondering, what will happen to charging stations or windmills or green batteries? How do we know that the technology used for quote-unquote green energy is still green?
So we have modeling that we're doing to measure the carbon emission, the carbon budget, essentially carbon footprint of each of the green energy technologies. And so we recognize that the end of life of those technologies is super important as well. And so that's something we're thinking about, the recycling of wind turbines, recycling of solar panels, and having those conversations, because that's where innovation comes in. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that we are addressing those things and thinking about those things ahead of any sort of retirement of green energy. So thinking about the carbon impact now as well as the carbon impact in the future.
Let's bring on Wesley in Toma. Hi, Wesley. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just wondering if you could explain to me the term climate justice. I mean, I've heard it a lot and I've heard it used in multiples of different ways. I guess I don't quite understand it.
Absolutely. So you hear the term environmental justice and climate justice used interchangeably, but they shouldn't. They're definitely separate. Environmental justice is the meaningful involvement of communities that traditionally haven't been involved in that have bared the burden of emissions and haven't been involved in practices and processes with state and government. And so it's that shared meaningful involvement of communities that have experienced emission reductions. Climate justice is related to the impacts of climate change. And so climate impacts, including extreme weather events, extreme heat, heat islands, health impacts that could be related to emissions or pollutions related to climate change and energy burden, increased energy burden and workforce issues. And it includes the environmental and social issues surrounding climate change and the impacts of climate change.
Wesley, thank you for that question. In our moments left, you've just seen Democratic lawmakers put forth 22 bills tied to clean energy. Does that package of new legislation dovetail at all with the work you're doing on the clean energy plan?
So it does. Any legislation that is proposed in the legislature related to, you know, electric vehicles, any sort of the climate package, that is important part of our work, because that will direct our clean energy plan in a way. If that wasn't there, we need to be thinking about other avenues to address climate change. So if those bills pass, then we do have the opportunity to look at those, that legislation, and factor it into the clean energy plan.
Maria, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Maria Redmond is director of Wisconsin's Office of Sustainability and Clean Energy, which was created in 2019 by Governor Evers. We have a link to the office at wpr.org/mornings. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with State Senator Jeff Smith as we take a closer look at that Forward on Climate package that was recently introduced by his Democratic colleagues in both chambers. What do you want to discuss with climate, broadband, and more? 800-642-1234. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Democratic lawmakers unveiled a sweeping package of nearly two dozen climate-related bills last week. The legislation aims to reduce the effects of climate change and support the move away from fossil fuels. It comes at a time when the state's utilities plan to retire some of Wisconsin's coal-fired power plants and over the next several years, replacing much of that capacity with solar and wind power. What actions should Wisconsin lawmakers take to address climate change? What kind of programs or services should be prioritized? It's 800-642-1234. Democratic State Senator Jeff Smith of Brunswick is Minority Caucus Chair. His district along the west central border includes Pepin, Eau Claire, and Buffalo counties and parts of neighboring counties. State Senator Smith, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thanks for having me today.
Good morning. Let's start with acknowledging the pain and the terror in Waukesha last night, the horrible and senseless act that Mayor Sean Riley called it with the Christmas parade, a SUV driver plowing into the parade. Can you share your thoughts?
It was shocking last night when we thought there were 20 people injured in the original reports. And now this morning to wake up to read a report that there's at least 40 people and five dead and could be more. And there's just no words, and who know, we don't know what was going through the mind of the driver or any of that. So it's so much to undig yet or uncover yet on this. It's awful.
I also want to turn to last Friday. A Kenosha jury found Kyle Rittenhouse not guilty on all counts of homicide and reckless endangerment charges. Of course, the case received national attention, as we saw. What is your reaction to the verdict?
Well, first of all, we all had our own thoughts and opinions, I think. In fact, I was at a meeting with sheriffs a couple of days earlier, and in that meeting, someone made the comment that I'm sure in this meeting alone, we all have different opinions about that. So my thoughts, of course, is that it's a tragedy that that someone who walked through came to a volatile place at the moment, 17 years old, wasn't old enough to be carrying the weapon he had, was all those things. There were so many things that that were involved, that, and yet there were no guilty charges at all. It really kind of boggles the mind.
Is there a need for changing Wisconsin laws around self-defense or how courts handle homicide cases?
There absolutely is. And I was, an attorney was talking to us saying that in Wisconsin, it's very difficult to prosecute someone who uses a self-defense plea in Wisconsin. So we definitely need to be looking at that. There's so much we need to be doing in Wisconsin, but we have been stonewalled when it comes to gun safety in Wisconsin, but we won't stop trying.
You won't stop trying. Have you and your Democratic colleagues been talking about what is the next step?
Not in this case yet. It's a good question because I was thinking about that. That now that we know the verdict, we definitely can reflect and talk to some experts and figure out what we could do that that would give us a safer Wisconsin.
Turning to climate, you and your colleagues dropped 22 climate-related bills last week. What do you make of this whole package? Because basically every Democratic lawmaker had a hand in authoring it.
That's right. This is a package that it was a bipartisan recommendation from the Climate Task Force. And many of these, if not all, I don't think all, but many of them were included in the governor's budget, but rejected by the Joint Finance Committee. So we didn't get a chance to debate them during the session yet. So we needed to eventually, like as we have, introduce them as a package of bills. So we do get a chance to consider the things we have, because let's face it, this is an urgent matter. We don't have time to play politics with this. We only have a very short window of time to try to fix the problem.
So as you look at the bills individually, which ones in the package are the most important to Democrats? Which ones do you prioritize at the top?
Another good question. I think we all have our own priorities. That's why you see so many Democrats who have picked out the ones that were more important to them. I have a number of them myself. And we have an energy innovation grant program. We want to reward and incentivize businesses and individuals to do the right things. County conservation staff, I bring that up a lot. And we really think that, it is important that we have staff on the ground in the mix that are helping farmers, helping homeowners figure out what they can do to reduce their costs of energy and even make it self-sustaining. UW Extension, climate science positions too.
I just want to pause there on county conservation staff. Do you feel that there isn't being enough done on the county level? What should be happening at the county level in conservation?
Well, see, there have been cuts at the county conservation level, at the county level, and we've left it up to the counties with the tight budgets that they have to try to fill those spots. So I think as a state, we need to step up, and this bill would put $1.8 million available for counties to support hiring for these purposes. We want to empower our counties to hire conservation staff dedicated to building climate resilience.
So you see county staffs then able to bring on workers with this type of funding being directed at county conservation. You would be able to see them staff up, if you will.
Exactly.
We're talking with Jeff Smith, a Democratic state senator from Brunswick in Eau Claire County, and we're looking at a package of bills relating to climate. What actions or questions do you have for State Senator Jeff Smith? What actions should Wisconsin lawmakers take to address climate change in your community? What kind of programs or services does Wisconsin need to combat climate change? 800-642-1234. The school weatherization grants, this would be a new grant program to make energy efficiency upgrades in aging public school buildings. What do you see? What types of projects would you see out of this pot of money for this grant program?
Yeah, first of all, this is $10 million in this particular bill, annually, $10 million annually grant program. It would invest in weatherization, energy efficiency for our schools. We can cut down on school district energy bills, save taxpayer money, reduce our fossil fuel usage, and create a better environment for our children to learn. I hear oftentimes from people, gee, you know, all these school buildings should all have solar panels on them. So, and I can't disagree. You know, they talk about a great space for solar panels and to maybe make them self-sufficient.
And so you see as well that these buildings are aging and that they are basically a draw on energy as they age.
Well, they are, and they just are. And we should be, as far as public places, we should be leading. We should be leading in energy conservation and demonstrating what can be done. And because we are also working with taxpayer dollars.
Let's focus here on farming. You want to create a sustainable ag grant program to support farmers as they take steps to reduce fossil fuels and sequester carbon. What do you envision this grant program then doing?
Well, again, it's similar in the fact that we should be stepping up. We should be incentivizing, doing all the right things. And farmers do many right things already. Farmers above anyone else probably really understand and suffer from the climate change that is occurring. You know, the differences that we see, or the impacts that we see on the weather, and all the things that happen, and the cost. And can you imagine the big barns out there right now if we were to have solar panels supplying the energy for those barns, what that could mean for farmers if they are to survive in the industry?
So you see a lot more solar panels coming online on buildings and residential and schools everywhere.
I do. I think there's a lot of opportunity there. I know there's wind as well, but of course we aren't we don't have the greatest places for wind all the time, but we definitely have every opportunity like anyone else, any other state for solar.
Let's bring on a caller now. Steve is joining us from Monroe. Steve, hi. What would you like to ask?
I was just going to ask, in Wisconsin right now, we have the Focus on Energy rebate for homeowners residentially to go solar, which is like $500, maybe $1,000, but mostly $500. Is there any way to look into further getting that to be more incentivized so homeowners want to go solar more?
Steve, thank you. Go ahead, State Senator.
Well, there is. That's our job, right? Our job is to set that number, and I think we should set it higher, Steve. Absolutely. And I don't have it in front of me. Maybe Kate, you do. I think there is a bill of the 22. I have a number of them in front of me, but not that one. That might do that.
So, you know, as you look at the package at a whole, and you also said you wanted to create UW Extension jobs, is this package also aiming to staff up more in different sectors that focus on climate?
It is, and that's exactly right. UW Extension climate science positions. Where should all this come from? It should come from the science. It should come from the research. And our farmers rely on UW Extension for many things already. And this is another place where we can really assist them and assist in this climate change issue that we're feeling right now.
We have Democratic State Senator Jeff Smith giving us an update on legislation moving through the Capitol. What do you want to convey to state lawmakers about your climate priorities in these times? How is the state doing in battling the pandemic? What do you want to ask the state senator? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a moment for more State Cap here on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Democratic State Senator Jeff Smith of Brunswick. He's one of the authors, alongside nearly every Democratic state senator and representative, who introduced 22 bills last week. The package is called Forward on Climate. Still time to talk about climate priorities. 800-642-1234. State Senator Jeff Smith is with us for 10 more minutes. Stephen Monroe had asked about homeowners, and I want to go back to on-bill financing, which is one of the bills in the package. It would make home upgrades more affordable through this on-bill repayment option. Can you explain what's at work there?
Well, this bill would make green home upgrades, including solar panels, heating, ventilation, air conditioning upgrades, weatherization, energy efficiency updates, all the things that you can think of that you could do to upgrade your home, and it would make it more affordable, accessible to Wisconsin homeowners through this on-bill repayment option. Through this program, utility customers would be able to upgrade their homes and produce green energy with little to no upfront cost while reducing emissions, building long-term savings, and supporting the green economy.
Okay, so you would be spreading out those repayments, I would imagine. Is that how it would work?
That's right. With, like, again, with little or no upfront costs, that's what I think holds back a lot of people is that they can't afford that initial cost.
So a couple challenges associated with on-bill financing are difficulties with changing the billing system and the repayment allocation. Does the proposal, you know, how does it mitigate those challenges?
Well, the thinking behind this, of course, is that it spreads it out.
Okay.
Right. So, yeah.
We also heard from John in Milwaukee, called in, couldn't stay with us. John wants to know about legislation requiring that all new homes or new office buildings be built with a certain energy efficiency standard. What standards do we have in Wisconsin, and why aren't they more stringent?
Well, Kate, I would not be able to tell you off the top of my head what the standards are now. I think they're, for the most part, not existent as far as state law, but we could do so much more. Many times when I talk with people, they'll say, you know, we should just expect every new building that goes up to have solar panels on the roof, for example. I know I keep bringing that up, solar panels, but it's some of these things seem very logical to most people. And I think we could have standards like that every new building for sure, and any new remodeling or fixing up new, older buildings should have these standards of how much energy use should be expected out of those buildings and how much they might be able to be self-sustaining.
Another bill goes after food waste. Americans waste 30 to 40% of all available food. What would a food waste reduction grant program look like, and what would that do?
Well, it reduces food waste, of course, while helping struggling families access affordable, nutritious food. The program would provide grants for food waste reduction pilot projects aiming to prevent food waste, redirect surplus food to hunger relief organizations, and compost food waste. So it's the compost food waste part is interesting in that you don't expect that once food is gone, it goes into the landfill, right? But we should be able to compost that food waste and get more out of it.
Another bill is focused on the DNR. It would require the state to take additional steps before permitting facilities under regulation for air, water, or hazardous solid waste when the facility is located in vulnerable communities. How confident are you in the DNR's ability to provide environmental justice to communities around Wisconsin?
Well, I'm confident that if we were to let our agencies do their job and the scientists to do their job, they would do it just well. They do it well. Unfortunately, politics often gets in the way, and especially when we talk about regulation and giving the agencies the power to do what we really want them to do. So that's gets political, Kate. And I know this may be one of the more difficult things we may be trying to pass.
So as you look for co-signers, and it's early, but what are you finding? Are you finding anyone across the aisle who is behind this legislation?
Well, not yet. Like you said, it's early. We just introduced this package middle of last week, and so much going on. It's not something I've been tracking yet, but now this week we'll start really tracking, hopefully, maybe see what we can do to talk to some of our colleagues and get more support.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Jeff Smith, Democratic State Senator from Brunswick, Minority Caucus Chair. You can join in with your questions regarding climate or other issues you're facing in your community at 800-642-1234. You recently introduced a package that seeks to halt the spread of chronic wasting disease in deer, elk, and moose. It would fund CWD research and management. Can you explain what you want to do to stay on top of CWD spread in Wisconsin?
Yes, thanks for asking. It is another package along with Representative Katrina Shanklin, we've been working on this for a long time. We introduced a fairly simple three bills in this package because chronic wasting disease is really a threat to our deer herd. And as we know, the deer herd and deer hunting in Wisconsin is quite a valued heritage here in Wisconsin. So we want to protect that. It's also very meaningful for our tourism industry as well. And you mentioned I represent Buffalo County, probably the premier deer hunting capital of the country. So that's really important from where I come from. So that said, testing your deer is really important. It's been a really difficult uphill battle. It sort of reminds people who say this to me all the time and myself of what's happening with getting a vaccine for a pandemic and getting tested. It's turned political. People just won't have it done. I even had someone say to me recently, well, I'm afraid to. So they don't want to know. And that's really unfortunate because we want to protect the herd. We need to know so that our scientists and continue to do their job. So we would put $200,000, I'm sorry I'm going on here, but we'd put $200,000 into testing kiosks. The other important bill here is the deer carcass disposal sites. It is so important that deer carcasses are disposed of properly rather than just put back into the woods so that the prions who cause this disease don't get back into the soils or into the and spread by the animals that might feed on the carcasses.
Very quickly, how are your main streets doing in the pandemic? What are you hearing in your district?
Well, I have been meeting regularly with one of my county health officials. She holds a meeting every week of all the officials in her county, and it seemed to have settled down, but now, of course, picking up and making people a little nervous again. In Northwest Wisconsin, all of our hospitals are filled right now. And I think red flags are going up again, that people need to be very much aware that we have to do the right things, get that vaccine and be careful, especially as we enter the holiday season.
State Senator Smith, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
Jeff Smith is a state senator for the 31st District Minority Caucus Chair. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.